Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
The subject of the Beacon Broadcast over the last couple of days has been the subject of joy. Christ petitioned that his disciples shall have joy, found in the high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. When Christ prays in verse 13, "And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they," that is my disciples, "might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." And yesterday we talked about the connection between prayer and the development of joy, how important it is that we maintain prayer communication with God. And to do that, I think it's helpful to understand a little more accurately what prayer is. And there are five elements of prayer that I think we need to keep in mind. Prayer is, number one, worship. We are worshiping God in prayer. Number two, it is surrender. There's a fresh surrender of ourselves to God in prayer. We know that unless we pray in Jesus' name, our prayers are not heard. And what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? It doesn't mean that we tack "in Jesus' name, amen" on the end of the prayer, and that means we're praying in Jesus' name, and that if we fail to say that, we're not praying in Jesus' name, and if we do say that, we are praying in Jesus' name. I ask you something. Study all the prayers in the New Testament, and there are a number of them recorded there by various men of God, apostles, and so forth. Find one recorded prayer that concludes by saying, "in Jesus' name, amen." Just one. Is there one anywhere? No. The answer is no. Look at all the prayers recorded in the Bible, both private prayers as well as corporate prayers. Nowhere, nowhere is any one of these prayers concluded with the words, "in Jesus' name I pray," or anything to that effect. Well, then, what did Jesus mean when he taught us to pray in his name? Well, folks, he didn't mean to tack the words, "in Jesus' name, amen," on the end of the prayer. He intended for us to understand that when we pray, we must take the posture that we are praying as Christ would pray, the best we can understand that. We're limited in our understanding, and of course we don't always pray as Christ would pray, but we must be consciously praying the way Christ would pray. In other words, we pray according to the revealed will of God, never contrary to that as far as we know, and we always pray surrendering our will to God's, as Christ did, who prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." Now, if we are praying that way, then we are praying in Jesus' name. And so you see, prayer is surrender, or it's not prayer at all. What is prayer? It is, number one, worship, number two, surrender. You say, well, do you conclude your prayers with the words, "in Jesus' name, amen"? And the answer is, usually I do. Why, if that's not found in the Bible? Because I need the reminder that when I'm praying, I must be praying according to Christ's will, according to the revealed will of God, if my prayers are to be heard. I need that reminder, and properly understood, that phrase is a reminder of that. And then number two, when I'm praying in public, because that is such an accustomed way to close prayers, if one doesn't do it, then questions are raised, which sometimes I just as soon not raise. But I don't always do that. And sometimes I'll conclude a prayer, even in public, not with the term, "in Jesus' name, amen," but I just will say, "amen." We know that's scriptural. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 There is a public and corporate amen that concludes our prayers so that people will know that the prayer is over. I know sometimes in prayer meetings where there are successive prayers, one person praying after another, in some circles it is customary not to say amen after each prayer, but to wait until the last prayer. But I would rather say amen at the conclusion of each prayer so that people will know that that prayer is over and that somebody else is now free to pray. It's really just a, what should I say? It's an orderly communication. That's really what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, that if we don't communicate in language that people understand, how will the church know when to say the amen? They won't know when to say it. There needs to be this communication. And people need to know when you're done and when it's appropriate for the next thing to occur. There has to be some order in our church service. And amen helps us to do that. We know that the person who is praying at this moment is done, so that whatever comes next can now begin. Whether the thing that comes next is another prayer, or whether the thing that comes next is a song, or whatever comes next, but it's a way of communicating the prayer is over. When haven't you noticed the awkwardness sometimes when people pray in a prayer meeting of some kind, and they stop, and they don't say amen, and you're wondering, are they pausing, or have they concluded? And sometimes it's hard to say. So it's not a bad idea at all to say amen. I think that's an excellent thing to say. But do we need to say in Jesus' name, amen? Actually, we don't need to say that. Though, as I say, sometimes if we don't, it raises questions. Sometimes people say, well, what's the matter? Are you ashamed of the name of Jesus? No. Are you one of these modernists that doesn't believe in the deity of Christ? No. Are you trying to avoid offending Jews or Muslims so that you don't want to speak the name of Jesus, and you're doing that, avoiding praying in Jesus' name in order to avoid offending people like that? No, none of that. I'm just trying to follow the pattern of prayer that I find in the Bible. I don't find anybody there using the words in Jesus' name. And I'm just trying to consciously carry out what praying in Jesus' name really means, rather than reducing it to a little formula, as if by saying the right words, in Jesus' name, amen, that we've now said the magic formula that makes this prayer appropriate. No, that doesn't do it. That doesn't make the prayer proper. It's the attitude of our prayer. It's the words of our prayer. It's the worship of our prayer. It's the surrender of our prayer. It's the conscious desire to pray as Jesus would pray, if he were praying this prayer, the best we understand that, knowing that he always prayed according to the Father's will, knowing that he always prayed according to the revealed will of God, meaning, in our case, what is in the Word of God, knowing that he was always freshly surrendering his will to the Father in his prayers. We pray in that way. We are praying in Jesus' name. And so what is prayer? It is, number one, worship. What is prayer? It is, number two, surrender. What is prayer? Number three, it is communication. Communicating to God, bearing our heart to God. Number four, it is application. It is applying the truth that we know from God to specific burdens and needs that God brings into our lives. And as we commit these back to him in prayer, we are matching up the knowledge that we have in our minds with the specific need and burden that lies before us now. It's a way of personalizing our understanding of the principles of God's Word to this specific situation. It is application. And then number four, it is petition. Or number five, I think I'm number five now. It is petition. One, surrender. One, worship. Two, surrender. Three, communication. Four, application. Five, petition. Prayer is petition. We are making our request known to God. We are petitioning the throne of grace. We are invited to do so, to come boldly before the throne of grace and there to find grace and mercy to help in time of need. We are invited to pray and to God to make our requests known unto God. In everything by prayer and supplication, making your requests known unto God. We are invited to do that. We need to do that. And as we do, we are cultivating fellowship with God. As we do, we are deepening our understanding of God's Word. As we do, we are applying the Word of God to our present needs in this life. As we do, we are cultivating joy. And now come I to thee, said Jesus in his prayer to the Heavenly Father, these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I wonder if it's a lack of prayer that causes so many of God's children to fail to connect the knowledge they have of God and of His Word with their everyday practice. We recognize that as a real weakness. Christians come to church, learn the Word of God. Christians read their Bible, learn the Word of God. Christians listen to the radio, learn the Word of God. Christians live their lives day by day with no reference to the Word of God. What's wrong? Well, obviously there's a hard attitude that's wrong. Obviously there's something missing. There's not a conscious daily desire to live my life in the light of God's Word. We've got to make that connect. We've got to be working at that connection all the time. Today, O Lord, I surrender my life to you again. Today, O Lord, I seek your wisdom and guidance in my life. Today, O Lord, I endeavor to apply my understanding of your will to everything that takes place in my life today. That is my daily prayer. That is my hourly prayer. That is my moment-by-moment prayer, or ought to be. And that may be why so many of God's children fail to connect the knowledge they have with their daily practice, because they are not praying. It's prayer that does that. And as I pointed out on the broadcast a day or two ago, Christ, who is the perfect example of joy and prays for his joy to be fulfilled in his disciples, is also the perfect example of prayer. And he understood the value of prayer and therefore prayed. And he is the perfect Son of God. And he is our Savior and our Captain. And he is our example. And how can we hope to have his joy in us if we neglect to pray as he taught his disciples to pray? A life of prayer. What's it going to take to have this kind of joy within us? A right relationship with Jesus Christ. A continued looking to Christ. A knowledge of the Word of God. And a life of prayer. We must cultivate biblical, God-honoring, worshiping, surrendering, communicating, applicating, supplicating prayer before the throne of grace, and as we do, Christ's joy will fill our souls. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.